I want us to look at a verse that occurs in that chapter that we read, or that part of a chapter we read, John chapter 6, and it's verse 45 I want us to concentrate on this morning. John chapter 6, verse 45. There Jesus says, "It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me." And I want us to learn from this text then what it is to be taught by God. I want us this morning not simply to be taught by a man. Obviously, I'm endeavouring this morning to teach you. But what I want is for us to learn from God, isn't it? For us to be taught by God. I saw my sister in the week, and she was talking to me. She said she met one of our old teachers. I forget where she met him now, but Mr. Rees. He taught both of us at different times, and so she said to me, and I'm not sure about this. I think she's probably right, but she said, in the presence of her children, she said, "This is the best teacher I ever had." I think that's probably true. Mr. Rees was probably one of the best. I'd never thought about it until she said that. And you know, sometimes the question comes up, isn't it? Who was your teacher then? Where did you go to school? I went to the local primary school and the local comprehensive school, and then. I suppose the local university, the University of Wales. So there was nothing particularly prestigious about any of those. I was joking when I was in the Philippines, where Brian Ellis lives and where the church is, it's in the sort of, they call it the university district because all the streets are named. You know, there's Harvard Street and Yale and West Point, which is a strange choice, but Oxford and Cambridge. And I was looking for, where's Aberystwyth? I said to him, where's the street with Aberystwyth? But I don't think they included Aberystwyth in the famous universities that they wanted to mention there. So not a surprise. It's usually, you know, people who go to Eton, isn't it, or to Harrow, or as I say, Oxford or Cambridge. They're the ones that usually go on about who their teachers were. And famous teachers then, you know, that Alexander the Great was taught by Aristotle. I don't know if he had much time to boast about that, but yes, Aristotle, oh, he was my teacher. And there are other famous teachers, aren't they? And it must be something, I suppose, you say, well, Aristotle taught me, or Plato, or somebody famous, Einstein was my teacher, or something like that. But to be able to say, I was taught by God, you know, that is something, isn't it? I was taught by God. God taught me. And people have letters after their name, don't they? I don't know if you could put TBG after your name. TBG, taught by God. Taught by God. I think there's something superlative about that, isn't it? Something unbeatable. And yet, that's what we read here, isn't it? It is written, in the prophets, says Jesus, they will all be taught by God. And in fact, Jesus says, doesn't he, everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. And it looks a very interesting text indeed then. Let me just remind you, chapter 6, we didn't read the first part, which is where Jesus feeds the 5,000 and then he walks on the water. But we did read the part then where he is in this debate with the Jews. They're very impressed with this miracle. They say, wow, a man who can provide bread on demand. We like this man. They wanted him to be the king. But they didn't really understand then the nature of his kingdom. He is a king, yes. But he didn't come just to provide bread. Some professing Christians, even today, don't understand that. They think God is there to give you a Mercedes-Benz and nice clothes and a good job. That's not what he's come. That's not why Jesus Christ has come. He said, "I've come to give myself. I am the bread of life. I'm the true manna then." But they couldn't see that. And by the end of the chapter, in fact, we didn't read on, but by the end of the chapter, most people then have now deserted Jesus. They don't want to be his followers, except for the 12, of course. The 12, they remain. And so, where should we take it up? If you look at verse 41, we read that this, the Jews began to grumble about him. And it was because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They couldn't see how this man who they knew could have come from heaven. How could that be? And so Jesus says then in verse 43, "Stop grumbling among yourselves," he says. And then he goes on, verse 44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then we have this verse. It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. So if we just concentrate on that the verse particularly, we'll say something about the previous verse as well, but mainly concentrating on this verse, then you can see it splits very easily into two, isn't it? First of all, you've got the quotation. Jesus is quoting, and then you have the interpretation and the explanation or the application of the verse. So I want us to look at both of these parts then. First of all, the quotation, and then the interpretation and application. So first of all, consider the quotation. And I think what we need to know here simply is where does Jesus quote from and what does it say? So very, very straightforward. So first of all, we've got this problem, haven't we? The Jews can't see how Jesus can have come down from heaven. And so they're grumbling. And the chief problem, of course, as Jesus says, is that they're not being drawn. That's the problem. They're not being drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can come to me, he says, unless the Father who sent me draws him. These are the ones he's going to raise up on the last day. And so Jesus goes on to elaborate on what he says. And he gives them a quotation, hopefully to help them then. A quotation could be a good way of bringing home an argument. You don't want to be quoting people too often. Too much quotation gets on people's nerves, I think. But if you can find a really appropriate quotation, you can introduce it properly, and you can make it fit then to the situation. Then it can be a great asset. And that's what Jesus does here. Then he says, "It is written." He says, "It is written in the prophets. They will all be taught by God." So where does Jesus get his quotation from? I suppose that's the first question. He begins by saying, "It is written." Now, Jesus would only speak like that when he was quoting from the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, as it was then. That's all they had. And he isn't not about then to cite just a helpful or an interesting source or an ancient source or even just an authoritative source, but he is now about to quote from the very word of God. This is God's word that he's quoting. That's why he says, "It is written." You know, it basically, you better sit up and listen to this, because this is God who is speaking. So it is written, he says, in the prophets. Now, I'm sure you know that if you get a Hebrew Bible, you'll see three, well, you don't know this bit maybe, but there you will see three words on the side that are written in Hebrew. And it's because they divide their Bible up and into three parts. And the first is the law, or the Torah. The first five books of our Bibles and their Bible is called the law or the Torah. And then you have the second and third parts, the prophets, which is not exactly the same as what we call the prophets, and then thirdly, the writings, the Psalms and Job and various other books like that. So he's quoting here from that middle section. He's quoting from the prophets then. And the prophets then, that includes men like Elijah and Elisha, and then the writing prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, and so on. And because they spoke the word of God then, they're called prophets then, those who speak the very word of God. They often spoke about the future. They were able to predict the future. We sometimes use the word prophet like that, don't we? A prophet is somebody who can see into the future. And very often what they had to say was to do with the days to come. And so he quotes from the prophets. And the actual quotation is from the prophet Isaiah. In Jesus' day, they didn't have chapters and verses, but we have those for our convenience now. And so it would be chapter 54 and verse 13. That's the actual, if you want to pinpoint in the Old Testament where he's quoting from, it's Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. Now, chapter 54 is one of the great chapters of the Bible. We know that chapter 53 is a great chapter, don't we? But 54 is a great chapter as well. And it speaks about the future restoration and the glory of Israel. William Carey once preached a famous sermon on Isaiah chapter 54, which had a great impact on the world and continues to this day. It's a chapter then, it begins, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labour. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord." And it goes on then, it's the chapter that talks about enlarging the place of your tent, stretching your tent curtains wide, lengthening your cords and strengthening your sticks, spreading out in all directions. It's a very glorious chapter. It pictures a wonderful future for the people of God. So that's where Jesus quotes from then. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 13. And what does the quotation say? Well, in the course of describing the coming glories, then Isaiah speaks of, he uses very powerful language. He talks about battlements of rubies, gates of sparkling jewels. He talks about walls made of precious stones. And then in verse 13, you get this promise: "All your sons will be taught by the Lord." And it's the name of God is used there then. God himself will teach your sons. "And great will be your children's peace." It says, so all your sons will be taught by the Lord. Or as Jesus is paraphrasing it here, he doesn't say exactly as Isaiah says it. He says, they will all be taught by God. They will all be taught by God. So Isaiah is having a vision here, and he's speaking of a time that's coming then, when they're all going to be taught by God himself. Now obviously, God was teaching them then, wasn't he? Isaiah was moved by God to write Isaiah 54, and he told the people what God said. So there was a sense in which they were being taught by God even then. But this is a different idea. This is a more direct teaching that is coming straight from God. And it's one that they're willing to receive. There was a lot of resistance to Isaiah's ministry. And it conjures up then a wonderful picture for us. You remember reading at the beginning of the Bible about Adam and Eve, who were real people, as we've just been saying. And it tells us that God walked with them in the garden, in the cool of the day. There they walked, and they talked with God. We don't know what they talked about. But it's a wonderful thought, isn't it, to be there with God. And you can ask him anything, and he will then teach you. And that's the sort of picture that Isaiah conjures up for us here. Here is a people then, and they are taught by God. It's very attractive, isn't it? You get the Jehovah's Witnesses. They come to your door, don't they? They knock the door, and they peddle their religion. And they want you to believe what they believe. Now, I don't know about you, but it's not very attractive, is it? It's got man-made stamped all over it. They've got their little bag of books, isn't it? And they've all got the same. If you get to know them over the years, they bring out new books, obviously, from time to time. But it's all from the same press, and if you ever ask a Jehovah's Witness a question, it's always a man-made answer. They've never thought about it. God has never taught them anything, as far as I can see. It is just man-made rubbish. That's what it is. Now, who wants a religion like that? Who wants it? Now, obviously, some people do. And I think what happens there, that people like that, they've never seen the truth, have they? They've never come across the reality. And so that they've gone for this. People do this, don't they? You can't afford, a Louis Vuitton bag. So you get an imitation one. This is no good. It falls apart. It's a waste of money, really. But for a little while, you feel good. And I suppose that's what happens. People, they say, I'll follow this man-made religion. I know it's man-made. They may not admit it to themselves. But well, we don't need a religion like that. Can any of us benefit from a religion like that? We need to be taught by God. That's what we need. What good is it? What good is it otherwise? We need to be taught by God himself. And Jesus clearly believes then that what Isaiah was talking about all those years ago is now being fulfilled, isn't it? And he defines then what all or all your sons means then. And he speaks about the way in which they're taught by God and what will accompany it. And he connects it then. He attaches it all to himself. It is all to do with him. It's all to do with the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, Jesus quotes from the scriptures because he knows who he's talking to. He's talking to Jews. He's talking to people who said that they really believed that the Bible was the word of God. And so it was appropriate for him to quote from the scriptures. And it's a reminder to us, isn't it, once again, that even the Old Testament, then, like the New Testament, it's a supernatural book, isn't it? It's not like any ordinary book. Isaiah is writing now, what, 800 years or so before Jesus speaks these words. And yet he's talking about something then that Jesus tells us was relevant for his day. It was this new covenant truth that Isaiah was teaching even there under the old covenant. And I think it's a reminder to us as well, isn't it, that when we read the scriptures, it's all about Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's what we've got to try and do. And it's difficult sometimes, isn't it, to see exactly how it's pointing us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what it's all about. And clearly Isaiah 54:13 we shouldn't have any problem with, because Jesus is showing us how it connects to him. But all the scriptures like that. And when we're reading it, we're to be thinking, what does this teach me about the Lord Jesus Christ? How does this lead me? In what way does this lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ? And that's why we need to read the scriptures and get to know them. We've got to try and find time. It's very difficult sometimes, isn't it? But we've got to try and find some time every day just to read a portion of the word, just to get to know it. Have you read the whole of the Bible? He said, well, I don't think I've read the whole of the Bible. Well, do you have a plan then whereby you're going to read it? You can read it in a year. Maybe that's too demanding for some of you. Maybe you'll need to take 2 years, maybe 3 years. Maybe it'll take 5 years. I don't know for some of you. But you should be trying to read the Bible. And not just read it once, but to get to know it. To get to know it. Now, obviously, you'll know some bits better than others. And perhaps there are some bits we need to know better than others. But we ought to be getting to know the Word of God. And trying to understand the scriptures then. The Old Testament scriptures in the light of the New Testament. The way Jesus explains it to us. So that's the first thing then I want to deal with. And I think we've probably spent most of our time on that, but maybe not. The quotation. Consider the quotation there. Where does Jesus quote from? Well, we know that, don't we? Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13. And what does it say? Well, it says they will all be taught by God. So, secondly, consider the interpretation and the application. And we're asking now then, how does Jesus understand and amplify what he quotes? And what does it have to say to us? So that's our second question then. So Jesus, he interprets the verse, he applies the verse, and he does it by saying this. He says, everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. So Jesus understands the all then, the everyone, as all those who listen to the Father and who learn from him. And such people, says Jesus, they will come to him. In the previous verse, in verse 44, he said, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And so this drawing then clearly leads to listening, which leads to learning, which leads to coming to Christ, isn't it? There's a progression, a pattern there. And so you can pick out these four things. Now, I don't want to say, you know, these are sort of four stages now. You have to have this, and then you have that, and then you have that, and then you have the other. I think they sort of meld together a little bit, but sometimes, you know, it's useful, isn't it, to do some dissection and to see then exactly how that frog is put together, or whatever it is that you're examining, just to divide it up very carefully, and so you see then what you're talking about. So we need then four things, don't we? We need, first of all, to be drawn to Christ. That's the first thing. You and I, we need to be drawn to Christ. So before we can ever be taught of God, then, before we can ever listen to and learn from the Father, we need to be drawn to Christ by God the Father. Verse 44, isn't it? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Now, there are a lot of skeptics, aren't there? One writer points this out. He says, there are lots of people who don't like this. So you're saying then, it all depends on God in the end. If I'm ever going to become a Christian, it all depends on God. Well, yes, we are saying that. And people don't like that sometimes. They say, well, I can't do anything then, can I, unless God draws me. And they don't like that idea. But this writer is very helpful. He says, well, hold on a minute. Did you decide who your parents were? Well, no, you didn't, did you? That was decided beforehand, wasn't it? And you may be happy or you may not be happy with who your parents are. But that's it. It's decided for you. And you've got no say in the matter at all. They are your parents and you're stuck with it. And there are lots of things like that. You've got two arms and two legs. I trust that's the situation for all of us this morning. You didn't decide that. There are people born without arms and legs. There are people who are injured, of course, and lose arms and legs. But you've got your arms and legs. Now, who decided that? Well, God decided that too. And you don't seem to be complaining very much about that. And therefore, you have to accept that. Also, there are lots of things that go beforehand that we simply have to accept that's the way it is. If you inherited a large amount of money, you wouldn't say, well, that's not fair. Well, you might say that, I suppose. You might say, well, it's not fair. You might want to give it all away because it's so unfair. But it's been decided beforehand. That's the point, it's been decided. And so it shouldn't be a stumbling block to anybody in this room, the fact that the only people who come to Christ are those who the Father draws to Christ. Well, we simply have to accept that is the way it is and not complain about it. I think rather we should be praying, shouldn't we? Well, pray, may it be me. May I be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ. May I be, you know, like iron filings then, to a magnet. May I be drawn increasingly to the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray that for one another and pray that for yourself. So, you need to be drawn to Christ. And then secondly, you need to listen to the Father. How will I know if I'm being drawn to Jesus Christ? Well, first of all, you'll listen to the Father. You'll listen to what God is saying. You'll recognize then that it's the Father speaking. And when he speaks, then you'll pay attention. You'll listen to what the Father says. And in fact, without that listening to the Father, we can't be taught by God. You can't be a Christian unless God teaches you. Now, you know, it's possible, isn't it, to attend certain classes. I don't know, maybe you've done this. I think I probably once or twice attended a class and not actually listened to what the teacher was saying. Complete waste of time. No good. You won't learn anything. You won't gain anything if you don't listen to what the teacher says. You have that problem sometimes when on a Friday night when we give them the craft and they're supposed to, you know, cut this bit off here and glue that bit to there. And if they don't listen, then they do it wrongly. And listening then is very important. And there are plenty of people who go to church, and I suppose there are plenty of people who hear the gospel. Not enough, but there are a lot of people who the word of God is taught. God speaks in those places, and yet it's far from being the case, is it, that every time God speaks, people listen? There's often God speaking, but people not listening. Sometimes they're distracted, quite literally. Then they can't hear. Something comes into their mind, either from, you know, around them, or there's something they remember from the past, or they fall asleep, or whatever. They just don't hear it. That happens. Other times it's as if it goes in one ear and out the other. They just don't really grasp what is being said. They don't understand sometimes that it is God who is speaking to them. Now I want to plead with you today, all of you. Not to be like that, but to listen, to listen. I know some of you can't fully understand what I'm saying, for various reasons. I know that sometimes it's difficult to follow what is being said. But I want you to listen to the Father. God is speaking today. God is here and God is speaking. He's saying, look, he's saying, here is my word. And it promises a day when people will be taught by me. And that day is here. I am teaching you. That's what's happening. And all you have to do is to listen and to learn. And you need to know then that I am the great and the mighty God, the God who made this world in 6 days. And I am the God then who can save you. Who can save you from yourself, who can save you from the devil, who can save you from sin and from misery and from death and from hell. And I'm the only God who can do that. Just listen. That's all you've got to do. Just listen. So that's the second thing, isn't it? You've got to be drawn, you've got to listen, you've got to learn, thirdly, from him. You notice that Jesus has separated out the listening and the learning here, just to underline it really for us. What does it mean to be taught by God? Well, it means that you listen to the Father. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him. Those are the ones that come to Jesus. Now, we don't always make that distinction, but you can see that distinction, can't you? Obviously, if you don't listen in the classroom, then you're not going to learn anything, are you? If I'm telling you something, you know, it's like when you ask for directions, isn't it? You finally pluck up the courage to ask somebody for directions, and they start telling you, this happens to me anyway, you're not really listening. Well, if you're not listening, you won't learn what they have to say, if you don't listen to what they say. And so we've got to listen, and we've got to learn. And true learning means that we not only hear what is said, we not only pay attention to it, but we actually put it into practice. We actually act upon it. And those who are taught of God, then, are not merely those who come to church, as it were, or listen to a sermon or something like that. You know, if I say to you later, have you been taught by God? You know, I don't mean to say, you know, did you understand what was said? I'm saying, has it gone in? Has it gone into your heart then? Is it going to affect the way you live the rest of today and the rest of this week and the rest of your life? That's what being taught by God is. And so those who are taught by God don't merely come and hear the word preached, but they act on what they hear. They put it into practice. And maybe that's your problem. I don't know, some of you. You come. You listen. I think you're listening. You can't tell, can you? People look at you. And you don't know. They could have sort of little headphones in there and be listening to something else, couldn't they? You don't know. You can't tell who's listening and who's not. But I'm assuming that you're listening. But it's not enough to listen. There needs to be this learning. You need to learn from God. You need to take it in and to live it out. And those two must come together. The listening and the learning. And you can't come to Jesus in any other way. There's no other way to Jesus. Simply hearing lots of sermons. You know, sometimes people get that in their head, don't they? They say, well, I'm going to listen to lots of sermons and that will make me a better person. Well, it might help, but it's not simple as that, is it? You know? I think if we did a... You can't do it, can you? But if you did a survey, you could perhaps find out who's listened to the most sermons of us all here. But I don't think you'd find that, you know, you could then say, oh, that's the most godly person. He's listened to the most sermons. And this person, they listen to the least sermons. And the least, it doesn't work like that. It isn't a matter simply of listening, but we've got to learn. And we've got to put these things into practice. And so you need, finally, to come to Christ. So Jesus says, doesn't he? No one can come to me, he says, unless the Father who sent me draws him. That's the first thing, isn't it? No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And then he says, everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. So in other words, then, to be taught by God is another way of speaking about coming to Jesus Christ. That's what Isaiah is really talking about, Jesus says. He's talking about faith in Jesus Christ. And coming to Jesus Christ itself, of course, is a matter of putting your faith in him. And the problem with the Jews then was that they wouldn't listen to Jesus. And because they didn't listen, they didn't learn from him. And that prevented them from coming to him or putting their faith in him. And so we're saying this morning, don't make that mistake, isn't it? Listen to what God says, what he says in his word. Learn from him so that you can put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the lesson itself, if you like. That's the whole purpose of it, to encourage you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. You know, it's easy to make stuff up, isn't it, and say, well, I went to Oxford, or I was taught by Stephen Hawking, taught me all I knew. You can say that, can't you? But it doesn't make it true, does it? And you can say, I was taught by God. But simply saying it is not enough, is it? We need, all of us, don't we? We need the reality. And that is the reality that is the truth for all those who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the acid test, isn't it? If you're really taught by God, then you will trust in Jesus Christ. You will see the beauty of Jesus Christ. You'll hear the Father's words, this is my Son, whom I love. Hear him. And that's why in my preaching, I'm always endeavouring to speak to you as though I'm speaking the very words of God. I'm not a great teacher. I did a certificate in teaching, learned how to teach. Not brilliant, but good. I try to do my best. But it doesn't matter so much, really, because what really matters is that God is a good teacher, isn't he? And if God has taught us this morning, then we're blessed, aren't we? I don't really know how to explain to you how to get into heaven. I do my best. I try and explain it as simply as I can. I find it very difficult to get over to people how simple it is and what it takes to get to heaven. I can't do it, but God can. God is a wonderful teacher, and if you simply listen to him and learn from him, you'll come to Christ and you'll be blessed.